Recording.
Okay, we are now back in open session.
Okay.
Go for it.
I'll start going down my checklist here. Madam Chair, I'd like to propose a modified interim consent agreement.
I'm not sure where you're going to go.
Okay. At requesting further investigative reports to the board from a neurologist and a board-approved psychiatrist.
Okay.
So are you proposing additional evaluations?
Yes, but we can proceed with lifting.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so I just wanted to be clear, though.
Yeah. Unless there's something that comes back in there that we need.
So what we should do is, if it's okay with the board, let's discuss a modified interim consent agreement.
Okay.
And then you can take the additional evaluations in a separate motion.
Okay. Okay, modified interim consent agreement would be the 5 years of probation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I don't think we need that specificity at this point because it's not a final board order.
Okay.
It's just allowing her to return to practice subject to whatever terms and conditions
okay.
you think are appropriate.
Okay. Well, it would be under a stayed suspension, correct?
Well, again, it right now it's just a interim consent agreement, so not a final order.
Okay.
So I don't think we need to put those terms in.
Okay. So what are the consequences if there's not compliance with the interim consent agreement?
That she wouldn't be able to practice. That would be a term.
Okay. So that will be a part of the interim
yes.
consent agreement. Okay.
Yeah.
Then I would propose the following conditions to practice. Abstain from alcohol and controlled substances that are not prescribed by her MD and do not have prior board approval. That'll be a later CA. I've got some other conditions that will be added later on. That for the time being and until there is another CA approved, that Dr. Bella Pianta will appear monthly before the board, that Dr. Bella Pianta will be subject to random drug testing of a minimum of monthly, and I know this one you may have difficulty with, that Dr. Bella Pianta will not have access to be able to prescribe or administer controlled substances unless under the direct supervision of another veterinarian. And then that, as far as additional counseling, that would be part of the final of the other thing.
No, if you, she can start it now.
Okay. Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Are you, in essence, incorporating the recommendations from?
A lot of them are from Dr. Keene's report.
Okay.
But with some additions and modifications.
Thank you.
The addition of the one. Not having access to controlled drugs, is that with the information we have on this not being a substance abuse issue?
Correct. But the illegal use of IV ketamine, which is a controlled substance.
So the only, I mean, the the challenge here is she's, correct me if I'm wrong, you are a sole practicing mobile veterinarian, you don't have any other partners or people, staff that you work with. So,
I wonder if you limit, if there's a way, is there a way that we can limit which controlled substances? Like, I could see euthanasia solution being something that she would need to have access to, being
right.
a sole practitioner, but may, you know, restrict the access of other controlled drugs.
I would defer to you, Dr. James, because you're getting into medical information that I don't
and
get.
You can restrict it to that.
Okay.
Yeah, because with a mobile practice, they have to have access.
Yeah.
And just be careful how we word it, because if we say anything like anesthetics, technically a euthanasia solution is an anesthetic, so. I agree with what you're saying there, because we still need to be able to practice. But stay away from those like anesthetic sedatives like that, and ketamine and that kind of stuff.
The specific euthanasia solutions is what we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would still be fine with like a little bit of buprenorphine. I mean, for those, I mean, there's certain things, because we don't have opioid issues.
Well, because, yeah, I was like, keep in mind, we're doing, what is it, monthly drug testing? Yeah. So presumably, if we are also doing monthly drug testing, then we would be catching if there was any.
I don't know if the controlled stuff is part needs to even be in there. But everything else we're doing.
I would say definitely no ketamine.
A one-off.
I would definitely say no ketamine at this point, because we don't know anything about it right now, and that's
gonna, well, I guess I would want to know, why would you need it as a single mobile practitioner?
It's a good anesthetic. It's a good dissociative for things. So, and you can mix it with other drugs, too, especially for cats.
And so what would be your easy alternative that would not restrict your practice?
It's a propofol.
I'm just asking.
It's not control. No, it's a good question.
So if you were going to restrict one, maybe restrict that one, because that showed up on a test. Mm-hmm. But
the other ones, yeah, it's a little harder for justification.
What we've already had a professional tell us that this is not an addiction problem.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This is perhaps, we do not know yet, neurological. Right? Because we've had multiple concussions, we get multiple accidents.
Ms. Bella Pinata, or Dr. Bella Pinata, excuse me, what were you typically handling in your mobile practice? Like, you do at-home euthanasias? Are you doing like kind of general exams or any other types of?
Just general medicine.
Okay.
You know, I do vaccines. I do a good amount of like dentals and a lot of hospice holding dogs.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I'm going to need to ask you to speak up.
It's okay. I do like hospice animals. I do just regular vaccines, you know, from the beginning of their life to the end of life. Animals that don't do well going in the hospital. But a lot of those animals also, especially cats, need to be sedated before I can do anything to them. And I don't know of another sedation drug that I can use other than ketamine to get them to go to sleep so I can examine them.
And does propofol require a cath and all of that before you can?
For propofol, yeah. Alfaxin would be
fine. Alfaxin,
yeah, because that's controlled still.
You can give it IM.
Yeah, it's controlled still, but it could be IM, and it's arguably safer, much safer than ketamine.
Much safer.
Way safer. And ketamine alone.
Yeah, that would be the alternative.
Yeah.
Can you spell it?
Alfaxone, I think.
Alfaxone.
Something like that.
Thanks. Never heard of it. Okay.
It's been around for a while, but it's...
Think propofol.
Yeah, that's propofol that you can give by IM.
That you can give by IM.
And then can I clarify, did you say no ability to prescribe either? So I guess help me with that one, because if she were in theory, like let's say she had this, you know, this hospice pet that needed something, she couldn't write a script for them to take somewhere? Is that what that means?
I think we should be able to do that.
I have a question.
Yeah, because that's not her being in direct control of her medication.
Right, because that's...
And that's the only worrisome thing at this point, because I mean, we're just early on stuff. But yeah, no, I agree, because like I said, especially in hospice, I'm huge on pain medication, pain control.
Some of us are less worried than others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and yeah. So like I said, I would be, like I said, the ketamine's the one thing I'm concerned about at this point. Beyond there, I don't see any other major concern. I mean, there's definitely... Like, there's concerns, I mean,
right.
But I mean, around drugs and not having access to them, I don't see any other.
Amitazine.
And where is it in the
record? Amitazine, because
you guys tell me that she
get into real trouble with that.
Just as far as she.
Sorry,
not that. No, it's a good thought. What were you saying? I'm sorry.
It was said earlier that there was something provided on why we're not talking about the use of ketamine. And
it's
our advice of counsel.
Yeah, advice of counsel. It's a Fifth Amendment thing.
Oh, I couldn't find it.
Yeah, Dr. James, there's a case called SPIVAC, which applies to boards, administrative boards, that when there's a concern about something like this, we are allowed to take the Fifth without penalty. On that, I think if you look at how the evaluator kind of navigated that, I think he did a good job being able to get the information he needed for you without also implicating her incrimination, her right to be free of self-incrimination. So, and I think you have other information that you can use to determine whether to address the case. But that's an advice of counsel. He did have to cite to speak with.
If I can refer to Dr. Keene's report, which unfortunately doesn't appear to have page numbers. Third page. in the middle, there's three bullet points, and they deal with the difference between the statements that were given versus what were found by Honor Health in the labs, and that they don't match.
Right.
Jane, would you mind going over your proposed, in terms of the proposed?
I'm still going through it. I'm not done yet. You want me to keep going?
Yeah.
Okay. So to participate in the therapeutic counseling, a minimum of monthly with quarterly summaries and progress reports, including attendance to the board. And the rest of it is, is for more of a full, you know, getting into 18 months and beyond and 3 years, and that's all for labor. Okay, so with that, I'm done. Is anybody
waiting? Was that a motion?
So moved.
I only thought it would be.
Do I have to adopt the interim consent agreements, findings of fact?
Well, what I understand is, and I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, Dr. Wright. Well, I was going to say, since we have concerns over the controlled drugs, do we want to, because I haven't seen any logs of anything, do we want to have like a monthly submission of logs too? And write that into the consent agreement?
From the practice?
Mm-hmm.
Controlled drug logs? I would agree with that.
Okay, so Victoria's giving me a look, you guys.
It's a thought, it's a question. Yeah. If we're concerned about that, is that something people want to look at or no? I mean, I'd go either way, obviously.
I think people can manipulate
their
logs to show whatever they
want to
show.
Sure.
Yeah. And I think the whole point of this on the agenda today is to get her back to practicing and making some income.
Mm-hmm. And protecting the public.
Absolutely. But how much practicing and income is she making with a monthly board meeting, monthly testing, monthly, two different monthly meetings? How?
Until we get this family in the lock for a couple of months until we get the final consent agreement, right?
Well, it sounds like you're going to order her to undergo some additional evaluations as part of your investigation, correct?
Yes.
So once that comes back to you, then you'll make a final decision.
Yes, that was the very first thing I talked about was the additional.
See, and I don't know that we did. She's already going to go see a neurologist. She hasn't got in yet.
Well, and if she's
so we just ask for those findings.
Yeah, and if during the interim she's doing the drug testing, do we need to at this point take action on what drugs she can use, or do we wait on those results and then take action? That's probably going to be more specific and appropriate if we need to.
I
understand the concern of the ketamine, but this. We have a report that this is not an addiction issue,
right.
And we've got drug testing in place. Like
we do,
aren't we going to put that in with this?
Yeah,
like
heard that monthly was not.
No, I'm fine with monthly drug testing. Yeah. I just don't know if we need to restrict the ability for her to use controlled drugs in the interim until we get all of this back.
Yeah, that's been discussed. I knew that might be a detrimental to her practice, so I said it would be.
Doesn't the report say that we need to rule out illicit ketamine and benzodiazepine?
Yes.
Yes, I would still say limiting ketamine because we don't know much about this ketamine right now, and that's a concerning thing.
And the benzodiazepine.
That was in Dr. King's report.
That's in the report.
But that was an old prescription though too. Correctly, or didn't I read that somewhere? People have to hold on to old drugs, so I can, I don't want to say excuse that away, but at least I can see that. But ketamine was never a prescription drug. That's my big problem. It's like that there's no prescription way to obtain that, so that's a problem.
Are we focusing on what Dr. King recommended?
I've included some of his recommendations into.
So random alcohol drug testing to include ketamine.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And the urine drug screen free of both benzos and ketamine.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you're more likely to be addicted to benzos than you are ketamine.
But does it mean that you're not using the ketamine?
Illegally.
Just to go back on two items regarding the addictive nature of it, when a rule out is actually really not used that often in DSM-5 anymore, it's technically, there's usually a provisional when there's a belief that further testing or examination will substantiate an addiction or another type of mental health, you'll use provisional. And that was not used here, provisional diagnosis. And they also, he did NOS, which is not otherwise specified, which is a designation for you're in the neighborhood of the potential mental health issue, but you're not, you don't have all the trappings of it or all the elements. And so we're talking about rule out. Rule out is a term of art used previously with DSM-4. It just talks about the fact that the steps should be taken to rule it out. I would argue that he actually did that through the hair testing. And then just as another point before anything is voted, the direct supervision, I don't think we put a fine enough point on the direct, on how we're going to how the board would like to handle direct supervision, because she is a solo, right. And so.
Right. I don't think they agreed on that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No.
So are you amending my order to remove that?
To remove direct supervision.
And then we're just going to restrict ketamine and benzos. And then other than that, she can still have prescribing abilities?
Yeah, they have filled it in outside pharmacy, I think. Yeah.
Okay, see, where I have a concern about that is following Dr. Keene's report, it says abstaining from alcohol and all illicit / controlled substances, except for her Vyvanse, unless the controlled substance is provided in an emergency room, hospital setting, or by a board-approved physician. This would include discontinuing the use of her currently prescribed benzodiazepines. That's from Dr. Keene's report, and that's what I would include, amend my CA to include.
Okay, so I think you're misreading that. He doesn't want her to take
that.
Yeah,
he doesn't say she can't use it. He's not prescribing, or he's not recommending that she can't use it on her patients. He's recommending that she should
not.
Yeah, that means she doesn't take it. That doesn't mean she doesn't administer it.
No, I hear you. Yes, that's. Yes.
So just to be clear, though, Jane, so you're okay in your motion, she can still have prescribing. She can prescribe to her patients a controlled drug. I mean, I think we were in general that would be more amenable to the rest of.
Well, I mean, when we're saying prescribing, he's talking like written prescription,
right,
because that's going to be tracked by the PMP and outside pharmacy. There's other safeguards there, so I have no problems with written prescriptions at all.
Okay,
like I said,
that's reasonable.
The only drug I'm really worried about, benzodiazepine's okay, because they do have a hugely high abuse potential, but it's the ketamine, because like I said, there's just no excuse for the ketamine to be in the system.
And monitoring the practice drug logs will not be effective.
Dr. Wright, could I just say so everybody's on the same page that we don't have access to the PMP?
No, yes, we don't. But I mean, the Board of Pharmacy, everybody does. So if something untoward were to happen, there's at least recourse is what I'm thinking.
Yeah. I guess I don't understand. I mean, this is going to sound really crude. I'm prefacing everybody for this. But if you really wanted to test somebody to see if they were going to use drugs and you take away access from them, then the random drug testing is probably not going to show anything because they don't have access to it. So if you really want to know if she's going to do it, wouldn't you want to do the testing while she has access to the drugs? I mean, I don't... Do you see what... I don't know how this is like...
You want her to use the drugs?
No,
she's using the drugs.
I don't want her to use the drugs. And she says she isn't using the drugs.
Yeah.
And we have an addictionologist report that says she is not addicted.
Right.
So, to me, we're already putting into place this random alcohol and drug testing for ketamine and benzodiazepine. So... what does restricting her use of having those to practice do?
Well, ketamine has it's very rare to get addicted to ketamine. It's a illicit, very common drug that's used.
So let's stop talking about it.
But if we're testing for it, why do we care?
I'm going to remove the statement about shall not have access to be able to prescribe or administer controlled substances unless under the direct supervision of another veterinarian, instead to quote Dr. Keene's report that says abstaining from alcohol and all illicit controlled substances except for her Vyvanse, unless the controlled substance is provided in an emergency room slash hospital setting or by a board-approved physician. This would include discontinuing the use of her currently prescribed benzodiazepine. Dr. Keene recommends ongoing random testing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, yeah. Even with that.
Yes.
Okay.
But that first one you read means she can't take it. Doesn't mean she can't prescribe it, have it on her vehicle, and give it to
correct. I just removed
okay.
that.
Got it.
I still say to ketamine, I mean, ketamine's an old drug. There's alternatives to it. It's not going to limit practice to not have ketamine, but it could cause a lot of other problems if we're using ketamine. So, I mean, that's my concern. Until we know, we're still in the interim stuff. Restricting the use of ketamine is not that detrimental to a practice. It's a very old drug, and there are very valid, good alternatives to it. So it's not changing anything. We're not restricting all drugs. I would just say ketamine at this point.
I would
there's
be
no, there's no need to fight for ketamine. I mean, okay. there's no need for that. I don't understand why that's
okay.
a big problem.
Okay, so I would be amenable to, I would amend my motion to include the complete exclusion of ketamine from prescription from access prescription or administration.
Right.
Yeah, other than that, I'm fine.
Okay.
Okay. So, you guys have that?
Well, let me throw this out there because I think when I'm after reading through everything and I'm coming up with these questions, I asked one in the medical executive session. But my concern over this was the health and the concussions. Reading through the narrative, reading through Dr. Keene's report, this is a solo mobile practice. A question that I have for open session here is, how many hours per day or per week are you putting in?
Variable, but probably
50, 40
to 50 hours.
Okay, so I mean, because one of the things that popped in my head is for your own physical and mental health, you know, making sure it's not over 40, right? Or something. Making sure you're not, you know, on call 24/7 on weekends or whatever, just to have some you time. Because I think one of these situations was a call at night, right? I mean, you're out in the middle of the night after hours when everybody else is getting ready to go to bed. You're just leaving the client. So I mean, if you're in a clinic in an emergency room setting, I mean, that's probably no big deal if you got teammates. But if you're all by yourself, then I think that's got to be part of our plan and goal here is her health and mental well-being, and part of that's getting back to work to pay the bills. Part of that is yes, trust but verify.
Sorry, I'm still not sure about that.
Part of that's, you know, muting your electronic devices.
That's on silent. You say Siri.
Anyway, so I just think, you know, that is something that we.
I am hesitant, Mr. Lohi, of taking that action before we get the report and evaluation from both the neurologist and the psychiatrist.
And like I said, I'm happy with this addictionologist. I do worry about what the neurologist is going to say with these concussions.
It doesn't appear.
But I'm worried for her health, not for what's going to happen down the road.
Okay.
It's too risky. Yes, we've got to protect the public, but we also got to, she's got to make a living, make a life for herself.
Right, I've modified things to enable that. I'm just uneasy at this point in time drawing a conclusion about her health or mental health condition to say that limiting her hours in any way and how would be beneficial. I don't know.
I don't know, but I say it out loud so she can hear it, make her own decision, right? Or
sure.
talk it
sure.
over with her doctors
sure.
who can help her, not because I can.
So Mark and Victoria or Trace, do you think we have everything that we need or?
Well, if you don't mind, just to make sure that I'm clear, we're going to offer a modified and amended ICA or a new ICA.
Yes.
Once signed, it will replace the current ICA, and this ICA will allow her to return to practice subject to certain terms and conditions, and I'm going to ask you to articulate those in a moment. Should she fail to comply with any of those terms and conditions, the suspension will be reinstated until such time as the board determines that she's in compliance and safe to practice.
Correct, sounds
okay. Could you
conditions again?
Yes.
Okay, first is the further investigation through evaluation by a neurologist and a psychiatrist, both board approved. Second one would be to abstaining from alcohol and all illicit / controlled substances except for Vyvanse, unless the controlled substance is provided in an emergency room, hospital setting, or by board approved physician. This would include discontinuing the use of her currently prescribed benzodiazepines. Appear monthly before the board. Be subject to random drug testing a minimum of once a month.
Including ketamine. Because that's not a standard test.
Pardon?
Including ketamine, that's not a standard test.
Oh, including ketamine, sure. Thank you. Participating in therapeutic counseling, a minimum of monthly with quarterly summaries, progress and attendance progress reports to the board.
With a focus on improving those areas that are set forth in Dr. King's report.
Pardon?
With a focus on addressing the areas set forth in Dr. King's report.
Yes. You mean for the further investigations?
Pardon me?
For the further investigations, is that what you're going back and referring to?
The therapeutic counseling.
Yeah. Well, I think that could end up being modified based on the reports we get back. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And can I have 2 points of clarification?
In the interim, yes.
Okay. I have 2 questions. One is Dr. Hazel did remove her from benzos and put her on propanol, and I didn't know if you wanted to incorporate that now since she is on propanol.
Propanolol.
Thank you. You are absolutely right. I don't know why I said propanol. I guess my head is somewhere else.
I was on propofol.
Yes, I was on propofol. Yeah.
As a layperson, I understand.
Yeah, I was going to a different substance, but she is on a substance already that appears to be working and doesn't have high potential for addiction. So we'd ask to incorporate that. And then I guess the one point of clarification is, since we're doing monthlies, do we want to see what happens with her actual treating neurologist first before we order her to go do a neuropsych? Because neuropsychs are in the neighborhood of about $3,000 to $5,000. And I didn't know that, given she's been out of practice since July, would it be possible to maybe take a beat, see what Honor comes back with, and then make an assessment if we want to then expand that to evaluative, truly forensically evaluative in nature? Because I really want to be mindful of her resources.
Certainly. But unfortunately, I didn't hear a name of a neurologist that we could, you know, their neurologist, and I think psychiatrist is still in there also.
And she's Dr. Hazel is her assigned psychiatrist.
Right.
And it sounded like what you had wanted from Hazel was fitness to practice opinion.
Safely, yeah.
Right.
And to increase the visits from quarterly to a minimum of monthly. And that's if, I don't know what process Victoria, the psychiatrist or therapist, goes through to be approved. Was there something that Dr. Palpa would need to submit to you?
So typically the consent agreement would just have the language that it has to be board approved.
Okay.
And so then the respondent would send us names of people typically the board delegates that to me to decide.
Great. So approved by Victoria. write an executive director.
Okay, so we have a motion.
Oh, and it just started to interrupt, but I did note that Dr. Keene is American Board of Psych and Neuro, so I didn't know if one of the options is to just ask him as part of this, because he is cross-trained.
That would make a lot of sense.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. You would just submit him to for both.
Yeah. Very well.
Okay. That sounds cool.
Okay. Should we make Jane repeat that again? do I have a second to her motion?
A second.
Okay, a motion and a second. Let's do roll call since it's...
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James is an aye. Mr. Lohe?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Wright?
Aye.
Okay. So now we need to still, though, discuss case number 22136, right?
So it's actually not separate.
They're together.
Oh, okay.
They work together in the end.
It's just we got two separate complaints.
People wanted to step into the medical.
And we wouldn't object to them traveling together if you wanted to just hold the substantive aspects of the case in abeyance till we can work through the primary case. That would be fine.
Okay, sounds good.
Sure. Just to note, because I double-checked the interim consent agreement, referred to both.
Yeah.
The cases were combined.
They're combined.
Okay.
Okay. All right, sounds good. Well, thank you both for being here. I'm sorry you were a little behind today.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
All right, so we're going to go down to number 5. We still have to do number 9. Board may review, discuss, and take action on certified veterinary technician application for Ashley Aguero, and it's in your supplement too. And Ms. Frost, you are the lead on it.
I am. Victoria wanted to give a little bit of a rundown on this since she wasn't able to do an individual staff memo.
Yes, thank you. So recently, the one of the quarterly CB tests state exam was administered, and that's how we do it now. We email it to the people on a certain day. So they're given 2 weeks to return the test, and we had one applicant, Ms. Aguero, who did not return her test by the deadline. And she indicated a few days later that she forgot about the deadline and still has not turned it in. So we don't, because you know this is a process born out of COVID, right? So we don't have any specific rules that say what happens when someone doesn't turn the test in. So that's the question to you all today is, what do we do with this application?
Which test is this?
So the CBT.
I don't even see this.
Yeah, so it's not in my...
It's on the agenda, there's no document.
So we sent her the test, and how long has she had it for?
They get a 2-week window to take the exam, and so I can tell you from experience, and most of you,
it's open.
You didn't have the opportunity to take your state exam, because they're licensed for 2 weeks, right? I mean, it's a pretty cool gig, plus it's open book, versus I very much remember mine. Not open book, very stressful, show up and get it done. So I guess that I feel badly that she missed the 2-week window. She missed it. Yeah. And so now my opinion, and I would make a motion that she missed the window, she needs to reapply for the next test. Second. So I would deny the request make an extension or
No need to extend, but it's not like saying she can't reapply. She just has to pay the fees again. And don't mess the deadline.
Yeah, I mean, and again, she's already been approved to sit for the exam with the state, just like anybody who took the exam and didn't pass. It's not like, oh, you got to start all over again, right?
Yeah.
That's not really the case here. So, it's just she has to make the proper steps for the next window.
And she's happy to do that. She understands that was a possibility.
So is there a motion or anything? Or
I made the motion.
Oh, it wasn't.
I second.
Oh, yeah. Well, third.
Motion to deny the application.
Okay. So motion and a second to deny the application. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. All right. Down to review and approval of minutes, the October 26, 2022 regular session. Let's see, Dr. Byrne, you were absent, so you were abstained.
Madam Chair, I move we approve the regular session minutes of October 26, 2022.
Second.
Motion and a second to approve the minutes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. October 26, 2022 executive session minutes.
Madam Chair, I move we approve the October 26, 2022 executive session minutes.
Second.
Okay. Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay, motion carries. Who wants to do the consent agenda?
It's the new vice chair.
I always forget. So I make a motion that we approve the consent agenda, removing A1, A3, A4, A5, A6, A7, A8, A9, A11, A14, and A16.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay.
Then I'll make a motion that we vote to approve pending inspection and compliance for A3, A4, A5, A6, A7, A9, A11, A14, and A16.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
And okay. I'll make the last motion to approve pending compliance for A1 and A8.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. All those in favor?
I want to have a discussion on A8.
Aye.
Oh, do you?
No, psych. No. Call for the question.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. Summary of current events. Anything? No?
I'm too tired.
Okay, what about call to the public?
Summary of current events. Oh, I have a
Do we?
I was going to share some.
Hooray.
I was like, I'm in trouble. I haven't
handled them so well. You two have handled them so well.
No, I haven't called him yet, so I've got to
run away. Oh.
Is he on?
No.
Is he on the agenda today?
No. Okay, so our next meeting date, pay attention because it's Wednesday, December 14th, which is, I'm guessing, the second Wednesday instead of the third. Okay. 8:30 here in Boardroom B again. Right. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All right.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay.